The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
You're in the 06010.
Welcome in to Wild Card Weekend. My name is Daniel Dopp. Beside me is Mike Clay. Hey, Mike.
Hey. How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. It's been a while. I haven't seen you. We were through the holidays. How were your holidays?
Well, my holidays were fantastic. Thank you for asking,
they were?
Mike.
Yeah. Cool. All right. I see you got some new clothes there. You're dressed fancy. You got some nice clothes for the holiday.
Trying to dress up. Dressing up more than our buddy Al Zeidenfeld over here. What's up, Al?
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
It's going pretty well. We're excited to be able to have you here all the way from sunny L.A., obviously. What's the temperature there right now?
Sorry, what was that?
What's the temperature here right now? In LA.
Oh, it's like 50 degrees. It's a little chilly out here. It's not too bad. You know, I never say it's cold in Los Angeles, but it definitely cools down in the winter.
I would take 50
take 50 too.
50 sounds good.
I do. That sounds dope.
I thought it was nice out today when I went outside. It was like, it's kind of nice. And then my car was like, oh, it's below freezing.
I don't love that. This is the CSS DFS podcast. We're going to break down all of the DFS slate for the wild card weekend. Obviously with our regular season of Fantasy Focus in the books. We're just going to call it there. And we did an award show. Please go and check that out. If you did not have a chance to listen to it, it was super fun. We handed out a bunch of awards based on how we thought players did throughout the year. But today, and for the rest of the playoffs here, we're going to be talking some DFS, making sure everybody's got a good lineup to make some moolah.
Yeah, not as many options, right? We only have 8 teams and 4 games, so it's not as inclusive as it was during the regular season, but we can still put together some quality lineups here and we'll make it happen.
Yep. Make sure you head on out there like we've done all season long. Join our weekly contest. Unlimited participants, free to enter, $200 in prizes. Did I mention free to enter? It is free to enter.
Free to enter, $200 in prizes.
On DraftKings, so go check that out. Mike Clay and I will both tweet out the link. And let's just jump right into it, guys, because I am excited. We've got some meaningful football ahead of us, and one of these quarterbacks has not shown up on our list the entire season. And now all of a sudden, Tom Brady is the number one best value at quarterback here in Wild Card Weekend. Mike, talk to me why you like Tom Brady at $5,800 this week.
Well, there's only 8 options to pick
Okay,
right?
That's what it is.
There's some good defenses playing this week. Look, Tom Brady, $5,800 against Tennessee. He is not super exciting here. Don't get me wrong. But he is the cheapest quarterback on this slate. I believe it's $300. Dollars, and he's at home playing against the Tennessee defense that at times has been, it has flashed being a good defense in the recent years. But since Ryan Tannehill took over and they have been throwing more and teams have been trying to catch up with them, they've given up quite a few points. So I think there's some value there. Also, a lot of volume for Tom Brady all season long. He is top 7, believe it or not, at quarterback in completions, pass attempts, and passing yards. He has 2 or more passing touchdowns in 3 of his past 5 games. He's hit the 300-yard bonus 5 times this season, and I consider this to be kind of a mid-range neutral matchup against Tennessee for quarterbacks specifically. They're 7th or worst in pass attempts, completions, and yardage. Again, so it kind of aligns high-volume Patriots offense at home against a team that is thrown on often. I think Brady is a value at $5,800.
Okay. Going from the cheapest quarterback on the board to someone, if you want to spend up just a little bit, maybe someone that'll use their legs a little more often, Carson Wentz, $6,200 from the Philadelphia Eagles. Mike, talk to me about Carson Wentz here.
And it's funny you say spending up, right? That shows you how close these guys are because he's $6,200, right?
Yeah.
It's a difference $400, right? Yeah. They are so close. There's a lot of fine options here. Wentz has been terrific as of late. They basically put the team on his shoulders when they were 5-7, and he has delivered, especially in fantasy. 20.4 fantasy points per game over his past 5. 70 total in all 5 games. I don't know what I wrote there. I'm reading my notes here. I don't know what that is. 266 plus yards in all 5 of those games. He is kind of lacking passing touchdowns as of late, but it's a high volume offense, much like I just talked about with the Patriots. They're averaging 72.3 snaps per game over their past 9 games, at least 66 snaps in all 9 games. The league average is in the 64 to 65 range. So you like that. I mean, you're going to get a lot of plays, a lot of volume out of this Eagles offense. It's really boosted his fantasy point total. He was weak in the first matchup between these teams, but Jordan Matthews is out. He played every down in that game. Boston Scott's in. He's been huge for that offense. Not to mention that the weather was really bad in that first meeting. It should be better in this one. And as for the Seahawks defense, kind of a neutral matchup here. 12th in pass attempts, yards, and touchdowns against. They haven't allowed much quarterback rushing production, so you could throw on them okay, but their fantasy points allowed are kind of lower because they just don't allow much rushing. That's not something Wentz does often. So I think it's a fine, a neutral matchup. I think Wentz is a good play.
Okay. Let's move on to Smiz. Al, you've got Deshaun Watson taking on the Buffalo Bills. Obviously, a guy that we both know can use his legs to be able to get in the end zone. But talk to me why you like Deshaun against this tough Bills defense here.
Okay, first of all, Deshaun Watson seems to be somebody that I recommend pretty much every week. And it's because from a tournament mindset, he's a quarterback that can actually break a slate. We're talking about the possibility of getting a 30 or 35 point fantasy day on DraftKings. And that's what Deshaun Watson brings to the table. Now, Buffalo's definitely a tough matchup, but the three best performances this season from them have come against quarterbacks that have produced on the ground. Dak Prescott with 25 rushing yards, Fitzmagic with a rushing touchdown, Lamar Jackson with 40 rushing yards. Obviously, Deshaun Watson has that rushing ability to score one or possibly two touchdowns like he's done this year already. And Deshaun Watson's a much different quarterback when he's got his full complement of receivers around him. And Will Fuller is back in practicing. I'm expecting him to play this week. You're talking about a yards per attempt, big bump for him over the last 3 years in games where Fuller played. He throws for an average of 60 more yards per game and a full touchdown more per game when Will Fuller is active. So with his full complement of weapons, them being a fully operational battle station, there is a possibility that Buffalo can give it up a little bit this week, and Deshaun Watson on a short slate can be a guy that you might want to have at a lower percentage.
Okay. Another guy that we're going to look at here is Josh Allen taking on the Texans, $6,500, the most expensive quarterback that we've talked about so far on this slate. Allen has had a rushing touchdown or multiple touchdown passes in 13 of his 15 full games. That's obviously excluding his limited Week 17 action. And if you look at the Texans' defense, they're allowing 27.7 points per game since returning from their Week 10 bye. So they're giving up points to the quarterback. It's just whether or not you want to spend up a little more at the QB position. So that's some quarterbacks there. We got four good quarterbacks for you to be able to look at. Let's move ahead to running back, where Dalvin Cook, all season long, has just been absolutely fantastic. And then we saw at the end of the season, missed a couple of games, out with an injury. Mike, you have him here as your number one play, $7,800. Talk to me about Dalvin Cook and if there's any concern here for you from an injury perspective, if you're feeling comfortable just rolling him right out there.
I'm very comfortable. I mean, think about how much we were spending on Christian McCaffrey at the end of the season, right?
$10,500,
like in that range. Cook is under $8,000 here, $7,800. I love this value. I know that New Orleans has a reputation as being very good against the run, but I mean, and they are sixth toughest against running backs in terms of fantasy points allowed this season, but they're only mid-pack since their Week 9 bye. Remember, they lost some players there with Marcus Davenport. Sheldon Rankins went down. Rankins obviously being a big one. They've only allowed 3.6 yards per carry on the season, but they've also allowed the six most receptions and four receiving touchdowns to running backs. And we know Dalvin Cook is a workhorse, right? He's going to see a lot of targets in addition to a big workload in terms of carries. In fact, he averaged right around 20 carries at five targets per game prior to his injuries late in the season. He was fantasy's running back two by 36 points over third place through week 13 when he got injured. So you had that big gap, right, to Christian McCaffrey, but Cook was well ahead. I mean, if McCaffrey got hurt early in the season or wasn't there, Cook would have easily been the top fantasy running back this season aside when he was injured, has at least a touchdown in 11 of his 14 games. I think Cook at 7,800 is a terrific value. It would be hard for me not to fire him up this week.
Okay. Another guy that we like, obviously, Devin Singletary taking on the Houston Texans. Only $6,000, and I like what we've seen from Devin Singletary kind of taking over as far as the lead role. We saw some Frank Gore early on, and that sort of dissipated as we got to the end of the season. So talk to me about Singletary here, Mike.
Yeah, I love the running back values here, too. Like, Singletary also a terrific value in Houston here. He's only $6,000, but I don't think he is truly appreciated as or acknowledged as a workhorse running back because Frank Gore is kind of lingering there.
Mm-hmm.
But Gore really isn't a factor. I mean, let's go back and look at weeks 8 to 16. Remember, they rested guys in week 17. But weeks 8 to 16, when Singletary came back fully healthy in this offense, 134 carries, Gore is 74. 36 targets, Gore has 4. He only had 3 touchdowns in Singletary during that stretch, but 9th in scrimmage yards and played 74% of the snaps. That's a huge number. 74% for a running back is a big number. He is their clear feature back, and it is a good matchup. Houston defense, fifth most fantasy points to running backs, 4.6 yards per carry. That's seventh highest, and this is the big one for me. Terrible against receiving running backs. And as just mentioned, 36 targets for Singletary since week 8. He's a big part of that passing game. Second most receptions and receiving yards allowed to running backs. The most receiving touchdowns with 8 allowed to running backs this season. 7.6 yards per target and an 87% catch rate. Both of those are worst among defenses. So even with J.J. Watt back, I don't think he's going to be a big factor in stopping throws to running backs. It's a good spot here for Singletary.
Don't you dare put J.J. Watt in a box and tell him what he can't do.
This is true. He's definitely going to pick off a pass.
Yes, that is absolutely what's going to happen.
It's definitely going to happen.
Al, somebody that we talked about all season long and was a little bit disappointing, but now here we are in the playoffs. Sony Michel, $4,600. We've seen the Patriots go run heavy as we get towards the playoffs in the past against the Tennessee Titans here. What is it you like about Sony Michel for $4,600?
I mean, I like the volume. Obviously, there's a large gap between his floor and his ceiling because he's not somebody who's very involved in the passing game. But for tournament's sake, especially with as much traffic as we expect on Tom Brady and Edelman this weekend, Michel makes a really good pivot, especially if you think that the Patriots are going to play from ahead in this game, because when they play from ahead, they tend to lean on the run a lot more in the second half. Now, as I said, he's been getting great volume, 58 carries the past three games, and he's one of three players in the league who've had 18-plus carries in each of his last three games. The other two, Derrick Henry and Joe Mixon. And Tennessee is the second worst red zone defense in the NFL. They allow touchdowns at a 68.1% rate once opponents get into the red zone. Last season in the playoffs, we all remember what Sony Michel did. He just crushed, and he didn't crush the games leading up to the playoffs last year either. So it's not like that gear can't be shifted pretty quickly to just keep feeding the ball to Sony Michel. And as I said, he's extremely touchdown dependent. I like him as a tournament play. He's not somebody that I want to play in head-to-heads or 50-50s if that's where you're making your investment this weekend. But realistically speaking, he is somebody that can have a 25 or a 30 fantasy point day at a really cheap price.
Okay. Another couple guys we want to talk about here, Miles Sanders, Carlos Hyde. Carlos Hyde is really good value this week. Alvin Kamara, $7,400, taking on the Minnesota Vikings. Since week 8, the Vikings are the 10th worst defense in terms of yards per carry. And you consider that Alvin Kamara is averaging 5.6 yards per carry over the last three games. Add in that a pair of rushing touchdowns in each of the past two games. It just kind of feels like Kamara is peaking at the right time, especially if you're looking for a DFS play here this week.
Yeah, he's been kind of odd, right? He came back from that injury and was not scoring touchdowns at all, right? He went on that long streak from like week 8 to 16 where he had no touchdowns, or through 15 and no touchdowns. But he was still, when he came back from the injury, he was still a top 5 fantasy running back because of all the volume. Then kind of the volume sank and he got scored 4 touchdowns the last 2 weeks, and then everyone's excited. But really, I was a little nervous. The volume was down a little bit late in week 17 there. Nonetheless, I think overall he's still the feature back. He's super talented. It's a high scoring offense. I'm with you. I like him at this price.
We still feeling good about teeing up Christian McCaffrey this week, guys?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
We've said it every single week. I mean, it doesn't make a difference what the price point is. You got to throw CMC out there, right, Al?
Yep. Can't get him out there this week. That's really the problem.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Oh,
what? I think you still put him in there, right?
Yeah.
I think you
I'm
still
just going to jam him in. Maybe he scores 25 points by mistake.
Exactly.
Maybe he's a pretty high floor. I just fire him up.
Let's look ahead at some wide receivers here. And Mike Clay living on the edge.
Oh, yeah.
Dangerous. Welcome to the danger zone. Hello, Maverick.
Yeah.
Will Fuller, $4,900. Rolling out Will Fuller, who's the guy that will either win you your lineup or score less than 6 points.
Yeah, and the key here is really that there's no concern about him playing at this point in the week, right? I mean, even as of 2 days ago, we're taping this Thursday. On Tuesday, it was just like, yeah, he's going to play, like he's ready to go. So, you could go super chalky across the board here, and everyone's going to have the same players, but you got to take some risks, I think, and we know Fuller has a massive ceiling, and he's super cheap. That's really the key here. Going against Buffalo, $4,900. He's not going to see Tre'Davious White because he's going to be on DeAndre Hopkins, so you'll like him on the other side of the field. So the matchup's probably not as bad as it seems, even though Buffalo has allowed the fifth fewest fantasy points, two wide receivers, and only 5 touchdowns this season. So certainly still a little bit nervous about the matchup against this defense, but at this price point, there's still a lot to like. And by the way, if you look at his 9 full games this season, just under 8 targets per game, a 25% target share. In fact, during those 9 games, only 9 targets behind DeAndre Hopkins. So getting a lot of volume when he's healthy. That number 13 fantasy receiver those weeks. We know he has big upside. We know when he's healthy, he's a star. We expect him to be a full go. I know it's risky. Not on the fourth play, he's going to pull up and be out for the game, but I'm okay taking some little risk here in the playoffs.
Yeah, $4,900 is a really good price for what it is that he can deliver to.
Great price.
All right, let's talk about another guy, Michael Thomas, who just has absolutely obliterated the NFL this year. $9,300, still that high price point, but is he worth it here in wildcard weekend, Mike Clay?
Oh, yeah. The number one fantasy receiver by 99 points. He's the Christian McCaffrey of receivers. You can't use McCaffrey, right? As we just talked about, you can use Michael Thomas. So why would you not do that here up against Minnesota, which, by the way, it gets even better. It's a great matchup, right, against the Vikings. We've been picking on them all season. Seventh most fantasy points to wide receivers. Second most receptions allowed. Top 10 in yards and receiving touchdowns allowed. Top 5 in catch rate and end zone targets. It's efficiency a problem. It's a volume problem. They really have struggled at perimeter corner. And, of course, Thomas, a big ceiling, but also a high floor. 22 or more fantasy points in 8 of his past 10 games. He's hit the 100-yard bonus in 10 games this season, which is incredible for a wide receiver to hit that mark that often. 11.6 targets per game, 7-plus in all 16. And he's coming off a down game. You know, he almost, there might be, I don't know, 5 people that are scared off by his 37 yards on 9 targets in week 17. Probably not many, but just a few people, if that pushes them off the edge, that just helps you. So I'm all for paying up here at $9,300.
Okay. Smith's the guy that you're looking at here, DK Metcalf. I love what I've seen from this rookie this year. $6,100 taken on the Philadelphia Eagles, who we've seen be exposed with that secondary so far this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a position that we've picked on Philadelphia with basically all season long for last season, the season before that. Some things just kind of stay the same, and I'm going to want to continue to pick on this Eagles defensive backfield. Sorry, Mike. As they're allowing a touchdown on 8.3% of their deep pass attempts this season, DK Metcalf does have a really solid A-dot and so many red zone and so many end zone targets from a historically accurate and efficient quarterback in terms of touchdown percentage. I think the highest in the modern era with over 3 seasons of logged snaps and everything like that. So you've got Russ Wilson, who definitely trusts him, definitely looks his way. And the maturation of Metcalf over this season, we didn't think that he was ready coming into the year. He proved that he was, and now he's even taking another step forward. 12 targets last week against San Francisco. I expect another possibly big game here. Now, the one thing that you're noticing between all my picks this week, because it's a shorter slate, I'm chasing touchdown equity a lot more than I normally would on a full slate. Because as Mike said, it's a short slate. You have to try and differentiate somewhere. So I'm more willing in tournaments to go after somebody who's got big touchdown upside and 2 touchdown upside, where I can't really make it up with volume because there's no Christian McCaffrey for me to play.
Okay. All right. That's a good little nugget that I'm going to tuck away. Maybe I'm going to tweak my lineup a little bit now that I've had that from Al.
Nope, too late.
Maybe we'll see.
You do need to do some tweaking. I guess we'll get to later.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, your strategy needs some work.
Wow.
We'll talk about that in a little bit.
I just put in the players that are green, Mike Clay.
Listen,
I don't know.
You were talking some smack early this season.
Yeah.
You just wait.
We'll get there. A couple other guys we want to talk about. Adam Thielen. I'd love to see Adam Thielen come out and actually play well here. I've been waiting for Adam Thielen to get back on track after missing a number of games this season. And Julian Edelman, $6,500 against the Titans. Julian Edelman has seen double-digit targets in 12 straight playoff games. He has hit the 100-yard bonus in 6 of his last 8, and I understand. I get it. The Patriots are struggling. They have not looked the way that we want them to look in that passing game, so I'm fully aware of that. But when you factor in the fact the Titans are allowing opponents to complete over 70% of their slot targets, Edelman seems like a guy that could absolutely have a monster game here if Tom Brady is trying to live within his safety valve of Julian Edelman to be able to move the football. So love Julian Edelman at $6,500 against the Tennessee Titans this week. That's going to wrap up our wide receivers. And Mike, it's no surprise to me we move over to the tight end position. And Zach Ertz, of course we have to talk about the Eagles tight ends because, I don't know, because you're an Eagles fan.
Is that why?
Yeah, because you just love him so much. Zach Ertz, $6,000. I'm sure you're going to talk about if Zach Ertz is potentially going to be out. Dallas Goedert is somebody that you could look at factoring in there, but talk to me about these Eagles tight ends.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with me being an Eagles fan, but thank you for questioning me as an objective
prognosticator.
Welcome. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
That's good for the viewers. It shows that we have good reputation. It's good.
Yeah, I would play Jesse James this week. I'm thinking finding a spot to get him in.
All right. Well, at least you own it. Zach Ertz, 6,000 against Seattle here. He is a good value in his own right at this price, but if he is out, Dallas Goedert is essentially, look, he's going to be the chalk. Everyone is going to have him in their lineup, but you probably have to, right? I mean, he's just going to be such a tremendous value at his price point. But let's focus on Ertz, because I think people will be afraid of him because he's questionable for this game. We don't know if he's going to be a full go, not to mention that you're not going to know probably until Sunday, and you're going to be setting your lineups that include all four games on Saturday. So a lot to unpack here. But again, if it looks like he's going to go, he's only 6,000. He's seen 10 or more targets and 17 plus fantasy points in five of his past seven games. When they played Seattle back in week 12, again, in that bad weather game, 14 targets, 12 catches, 91 yards, and a touchdown in that one. And this matchup is outstanding. Now, we've picked on Arizona all season long, right?
Correct.
Because they're so bad against tight ends. Well, the Seahawks have allowed the second most fantasy points to tight ends this season.
Really?
The third most targets and receptions against, the second most receiving yards, just under 8 yards per target. That is seventh highest. So it is a situation that can be attacked with Ertz and Goddard, regardless of who plays. Even if Ertz plays, you would expect both of these guys to be extremely busy in this game. So I like both of them, to be quite honest. But I think Ertz is actually a better value if he plays.
Okay. Another guy that we like the value of, Jacob Hollister, Mike Clay, a guy that came on towards the end of the season. Tell me what you like about Hollister here.
Yeah, you know what? I came away underwhelmed, really, with the tight end slate here. But I think he, of all the options, he is the next best value here at 4,300 against the Eagles. Six or more targets in six of his past eight games, averaging just under 6.5 a game. That's decent volume in a Seahawks offense led by Russell Wilson. Hasn't scored since week 11, so his value's down a little bit, but he has a 2.4 OTD during that span. That is ninth at tight end. Also, four end zone targets is fifth. We also know he's about an inch away from winning that game against the Niners in week 17, or he would have had a touchdown. So he's really just had bad touchdown luck. The volume has been decent. The Eagles defense, by the way, pretty good against position. Fifth fewest to tight ends, though. If you look at recency here, Caden Smith and Mike Gesicki both had good games in the past month or so against them. So it's not like it's impossible that they shut them down automatically.
Sure.
So I think it is a decent play here.
Al, Mike says that he's not impressed with the tight end slate so far this week.
I agree.
Yeah, okay, I was going to ask you if you feel the same way, because yeah. I noticed Jordan Akins is your play this week at $2,800 against the Bills. Talk to me about both Akins and how you feel about the tight end slate in general this week.
I mean, let me start off by saying I agree with Mike that the majority of the plays are going to be on Goddard or Ertz or Hollister because they give you a better path to targets. Now, if you're trying to free up some salary and try and pin your hopes to somebody who might score a touchdown, you're going to talk about one of the guys, Dob, and I'm going to talk about the other one with Jordan Akins. The reason I prefer Akins at the 3K and below range is because, one, you're just hoping that they fall themselves into the end zone, right? But
yep.
I want to get a guy that might have a little bit more volume. Akins this year has had four games where he's seen five or more targets. So of the cheaper plays at tight end, he is somebody who actually is involved in the pass game, has run routes on over 50% of his quarterback's dropbacks this season, which is the first step towards actually catching a pass, is not block all the time. Buffalo's allowing a touchdown pass on 6.1% of their tight end targets. And they've allowed the second highest red zone completion percentage in the league this season. So Akins is thin. I understand that from a volume perspective, but we only really need like 8, maybe 9 points. And if he happens to fall into the end zone, 8 points is like 4 catches for 40 yards. You don't need to do much to get there. And if one of those is a touchdown catch, he absolutely smashes value and opens up a lot of salary. You know, you're talking about 1,400 to like 3,000 that you're saving at tight end to allow you to pay up for another superstar stud play if you're willing to accept the variance with somebody like Jordan Akins.
Okay. Another guy that we like in that same kind of vein, Irv Smith, taking on the New Orleans Saints. Tight end 13 on a four-game slate. This is, again, if you want to sort of punt that position, you're looking for someone that could maybe fall in the end zone. The Vikings led the league in percentage of snaps with two tight ends on the field this regular season. So just like Al said, 4 for 40, 4 for 50, you know, just by getting 4 for 50, you've got 9 points. You're now meeting what it is that you need from this price point at $2,700. And by the way, again, just like Al said, if one of those passes in the end zone, you have absolutely outplayed what it is that this value is. So if you want to punt on that position, either one of those two guys are guys that we like this week. I'm excited to see. I've been toying with the idea of doing both Akins and Smith in the tight end and flex play and just open up all the superstars. You know,
not in a
50-50 or a head-to-head game, but if you want to look at a tournament play where you just want to be a little bit crazy, you know, live on the edge,
Yeah, I think what makes me nervous there is they might combine for three catches. But you're right, in a tournament setting, that might be their ceiling, honestly, right, Al? Like four catches? You know, that's what makes me nervous about filling up both spots with those two guys. So you definitely can't do that in cash, I don't think.
No, definitely
a tournament,
not in cash.
It still bothers me a little bit in a tournament, too, just because even if they both score a touchdown, you're probably still not going to get a ton of value out of that. There's not really a high ceiling. Not to mention, by the way, you talk about Jordan Akins, and that's fine. I'm with you on all your points, but they also have Darren Fells there who scores. That's all he does is score touchdowns. He may steal quite a few. So that worries me a little bit.
You know what worries me? What I'm going to spend all my money on when I win the Millionaire Maker.
Okay.
Like, I mean, I guess that's just where we just worry
about
different things.
You've already moved on to that
point. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I realize this is going to be a winning lineup.
You've already spent some of that money.
Yeah, right? I've got it figured out already. So, yeah. All right, we're at the point of the show where we're going to talk about who we are going to make our lineups with. Week 17 recap. Mike Clay brought home another victory by 7 points, 150 to 143. We both would have in 50-50 or head-to-head games, we would have cashed. We both did really well. Congratulations to Tadley, scoring 211.96.
Well done.
Congratulations. Absolutely crushed it last week. Season standings, Mike Clay, you won the regular season with a 12-5 record. You scored 178 points more than I did cumulatively.
Yes.
Over the course of the season, Al went 9-4 in his pickings. So Al did quite well himself. And you know what? Just because I didn't have wins doesn't mean that I wouldn't have cashed and done well in those weeks as well.
This is accurate.
We want to make sure that we say that, like, just because I lost doesn't mean that, like, I actually didn't, you know.
So you're saying you're good, but I'm elite or great. Is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, if you want to be Julio in this standpoint, Mike, you can be Julio. I'll give you that.
Well, anyway, we're going to see, you know, people talk about, should you rest players in the NFL in week 17 or should you carry that, you know, quote unquote momentum into the playoffs? Well, I beat you 7 straight going into the playoffs, my friend. 7 straight and 9 out of 10. So we'll see if that carries into the playoffs here.
Wow.
But yeah, you talked a little smack early on. You won
week 1
and week 3. Didn't last long.
I had a couple of weeks in the middle there where I thought I had him. I started smack talking in our group chat, and then the 4 o'clock games came around, and Kenyon Drake did some.
Yeah, that one week was amazing. Yeah, so, I tweeted about that. It was good.
That sucked.
Yeah, but anyway, it's been a fun regular season, and yeah, you're right. We did well. Obviously, if you're listening now, you probably listened during the regular season. You want some money because we had a good year. So a lot of testing this year. Tested the format of the show. We had a lot of new tools. This is the first time we had that DFS tool up.
Yep.
And I think it was really good. So, and that's what we care about, right? Like, if it's not good, we're not going to do the show.
Yeah.
We want to have good advice. So far, so good. Obviously, Smizzle's done a great job as well.
Yeah, and that DFS tool that Mike talks about is available behind ESPN+. Plus. Mike comes out. It's a beautiful, super easy to read chart. It shows you great values, good values, average values, poor values. On top of that, Al every week writes the best buys column, which is also was available on ESPN Plus. Al, you doing that through the playoffs as well this week?
Yeah, it just went live this morning, so that's
nice.
Available on ESPN Plus as well.
So if you have ESPN Plus, you sign up for that Hulu ESPN Plus Disney Plus bundle. You can go on there, check it out, which is not bad while you're watching some Star Wars.
Yeah, or the Imagineering documentary. Did you watch that?
I heard that was really good.
Oh, man, I just watched it. It's so good. I'm going to Disney in a few weeks, and like I had to watch that before I went. It was addicting. So great stuff.
Great stuff.
And we are not paid to say that.
No.
I just
love
this
Disney
is us
Plus.
As
so
Disney, two Disney dads and a Disney fan here.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Mike, give us your wild card weekend DFS lineup.
Let's roll. I'm going to actually go with a quarterback. It's just the way you fit into the optimal lineup here that we did not talk about, and that's Drew Brees, right? He's playing at home against Minnesota. We like Michael Thomas, so why not like the guy throwing him the football, Drew Brees? He's a quarterback. The running backs, Dalvin Cook, Devin Singletary, and my flex is going to be a running back as well. I'm going to throw Miles Sanders in there, of course, at wide receiver. Adam Thielen, you mentioned him briefly, love that value. If he gets his target share from early in the season, he's going to pay off big at 6,200. Mohamed Sanu, a little bit of a punt under 4,000. Will Fuller, we talked about him. Zach Ertz, a tight end. Obviously, if he's out, I'll pivot to Dallas Goedert, maybe improve at one of those wide receiver spots.
Sure.
And then Titans defense is where I'm going to go at 2,400 at the defensive spot.
Okay. So let me see this. You took Drew Brees without Michael Thomas.
Yep.
You did two running backs paired with two pass catchers from the same teams.
Okay.
Feels like there's a lot of opportunity here for me to be able to make up, you know, potentially some losing ground that I've had over the season.
I don't know about that, but you could make your best effort.
Tell you what, me and the GOAT Tom Brady are going to have something to say about it. $5,800 taking Tom Brady for me right here. I'm going to take him at quarterback. You want to know why? Because all they do is win. And when they win, they score points.
Is that right? They haven't done that this year.
I hope so.
In the last couple months.
I'm hoping they score points this week.
So. My initial optimal lineup earlier in the week actually had Brady in. So I don't hate that call. Certainly, I actually liked Adam Humphries at 3K. But he's not. It looks like he's not going to play. So,
yeah.
But if he does surprisingly come back to practice, he's a value too.
I'm going to do Brady at my quarterback position. My two running backs are going to be Carlos Hyde and Devin Singletary, with James White in the flex. I'm taking the pass catching ability of James White there. Looking at the wide receiver position, I've got Julian Edelman going all in with the Patriots here. Adam Thielen and Michael Thomas as my other two wide receivers. I just don't see how I can keep Michael Thomas out of this lineup. Irv Smith Jr. at the tight end position, and then I have the Houston Texans for my defense.
Well, I like Brady, Singletary, Edelman, Thielen, Thomas, Smith. I like all them guys. Otherwise, trash.
So. Okay, got it. That's fair.
Other than liking pretty much your whole lineup.
Other than the rest of those guys, yeah. Appreciate that.
It's a solid lineup.
I don't want to say regret, but there's a part of me that wishes I had a stud running back, a guy that I felt super strong on, but. I guess that's where, and Al, you can tell me if my brain is just stupid. But part of my thought with Michael Thomas is the idea that, like, Michael Thomas has delivered that RB1 value all year long, and as close as you can say to a sure thing with a wide receiver, it feels like that's what Michael Thomas has sort of been. So
especially
I feel like I've
when he's
it.
Playing at home.
Yeah. Yep. So, all right, you've heard both of the lineups. Al Zeidenfeld, we ask you to choose now between Mike and I. You are King Solomon. Which one? Oh, it doesn't really work because you would just cut us in half and then pick one. But you get to pick.
I was gonna say, I've cut both lineups in half because you guys have overlap on about half the players. And then when I weigh the rest of the lineups, Dop's got Michael Thomas and Mike Clay doesn't.
Wow.
So, Mike, you lose.
Yeah.
You get nothing.
Biggest
good
loser.
Day, sir.
No soup for you.
That hurts. That hurts my feelings. Actually, I had Thomas in so many lineups. It just didn't work out that way. Where you said you wanted a star running back, I have Dalvin Cook in there. I'm kind of cheap at the wide receiver position, but I think Will Fuller could be that star number one receiver for me. You got Ertz in there, so I'm okay with it.
I'm going to do a separate lineup.
They're both good lineups.
Yeah, they're both going to cash,
now
right?
He's hedging now.
Yeah, they're both great. I'm going to pull James White out, and I'm going to put in... I'm just curious. I'm going to put Jordan Akins in, and I'm going to see if I can squeeze in a Dalvin Cook with this Michael Thomas and see what happens there.
Yeah, you could set a. You could obviously you don't have to set one lineup. You set a few.
I always
set
do a that. Couple.
I set a few each week. If I'm hurting that I couldn't get a guy in, I'll set up a few. So no doubt you could do that. Obviously, but make sure you join our contest, of course.
Absolutely, Mike and I are going to tweet it out at Mike Clay NFL at Daniel Dopp. Al is at Al Zeidenfeld. Make sure that you check us out, guys. Thank you so much for coming and hanging out with all of us. This entire season, actually, it's been fantastic to be able to chill and do this with you guys. Really excited. Hopefully you've enjoyed the DFS podcast.
And there's more to come. We're talking like it's over.
No, we've got multiple weeks left. Yeah. We're going to go all the way through the Super Bowl, so we're going to figure it out. But for this week, congratulations. Good luck in your wild card weekend DFS slate, guys. For Mike, for Al, we're going to say see you guys till next week. Bye.
No secret, not a mystery. The one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate, Full Sail, you a Lions fan through and through. With the hippest beard, I'm telling you, he's dead.